for ABC News in Austin, Texas, for the 2011 South by Southwest Interactive Festival. I'm Dan Patterson, and you can hear the festival around us. I'm joined by Zay Frank. Zay, thanks a ton for sitting down with me this afternoon. I don't want to talk about the show, but I want to talk about how you went from the show to you kind of disappeared, and now you have a new startup. Give us some background about your time in the industry and the show.
Sure. Well, I was involved in the kind of early boom of the web. Got hired in the late 90s into an ad agency, and kind of cut my teeth there around code and design and things. And then I had a viral hit in 2001. Where I became just completely fascinated with why content spreads and the sort of like momentary joy that comes with discovery in online spaces. And I basically just spent years after that making content, trying to understand how things, you know, move around and what aspects of content make things interesting, and then got interested in participation and why do people participate, and did a whole string of participatory projects, like, you know, people dressing vacuum cleaners up and all sorts of like weird, crazy things. And then I did the show, which was a commitment to sort of try to bring some of those things together into a narrative of some sort. So that lasted a year, and it was great. I got to sort of apply a lot of the things that I had been thinking about in terms of audience participation, how close you can feel to an audience, how much an audience can participate in the crafting of the format of a show. And it was absolutely wonderful. But I had made an early commitment that it would only be a year, so that we could play with the feeling that you get when something is ending, and the notion that there is a limited amount of time. And I don't regret that for a second.
And this was a loose but somewhat scripted video show that like you said, lasted for about a year.
One year exactly.
And then you kind of disappeared for a while. Where did you go?
I think the disappearance may have felt like disappearance because so much media attention was paid to the show. But in fact, I didn't disappear at all. I still kept on going. I didn't want to put all my resources into managing a large-scale reputation, and rather wanted to do some very, very specific work. So some of it was writing and things like that. But after the show, I became really, really interested in something in particular. Two things. One was how emotions are represented in virtual spaces. I mean, the audience and I had a real relationship. It was awesome, and we tackled some really difficult things. And I became really interested in this transition that we're making to virtual life, and who are the stewards of that transition, and how comfortable are we being vulnerable online, and bringing to bear a lot of the more difficult kinds of social interactions. And I don't mean necessarily the bad ones at all. I mean just very, very simple things that can flummox us in our day-to-day lives, like apologizing or saying thank you or any of these other things. So I did a whole string of projects based on that. And then the other thing that I became really interested in, based on learning more from friends of mine like Jane McGonigal and Elon Lee and folks like that, was how game and play, and play is something that I've been sort of naturally involved in, but game is kind of the structural component that's on top of that, how game can facilitate some of these things that I became super interested in. So I launched Color Wars in 2008, which was, I think, the first large-scale social game on Twitter, and was simultaneously doing all these projects on emotional stuff, and that led me to my most recent project, which is it's a company. It's not just a project. This is the full bore. And in the same way that the show represented me kind of trying to use everything that I've been thinking about into and putting it into one narrative space, this is me really taking the last 10 years and trying to put it into a company which reflects a lot of those values and senses of play and game and all that kind of stuff.
That's actually far more interesting than the material things that you've done. There are companies and there are projects that you've done, but a theme that runs through all of your work seems to be emotional states. And in a day and age where the web can be unifying, but it can also be an alienating and isolating component of our lives, you focused on emotions and things that do bring humans together. Why? What's fascinating about emotions in this space?
I think that, for me, the having probably lived in... it's difficult for me to say exactly why, but I think I recognized pretty early on the significance of living a virtual life, and I think at the same time that a lot of other people were going through the same kind of transition, but to me it just felt really important, and it just felt important that first of all, I really do believe that a virtual life is a real part of your life. When you see someone stopped on the sidewalk staring at their cell phone in a seemingly like wax statue sort of way, you can't deny that real life is being lived there, but it is almost invisible in the physical world, and you have to get into the virtual world to really start to experience it. And so, if it's life being lived, I want to live it fully, and I think that it's really important to put as much work into those kinds of relationships and thinking about those kinds of interactions that you do in your social life, in your physical social life. And I think that you just said it, a lot of the web feels sometimes alienating and sterile and things like that, and I think it's because being social is really hard work. It's just hard work, and we can't pretend that simple sort of platform rules are going to just kind of make it easy all of a sudden. It's messy, it will not change from being messy, and we have to get our hands dirty in the things that matter to us.
So a moment ago you said play. Particularly in a space that emphasizes money and emphasizes very serious and important and adult things. And even now, I'm trying to think of a far more important way to articulate serious things. But it seems less important now, hearing you talk about gaming and play. But really, what's the importance of adults playing and having fun, whether it's online or off?
There's a lot of different reasons why it's important. I think that play represents some of our best qualities. When we play, we're really bringing to bear the full spectrum of our engagement, our feeling of connectedness. We feel rewarded. We feel like we're capable. We're striving to the sort of like... end of our ability. We're incredibly creative. I mean, some of the most non-creative people, by their own definition, can all of a sudden come alive when they feel like they're kind of mimicking someone else or having a sort of, playful moment. And I think it's basically it unlocks a lot of things that we feel very self-conscious about when we focus on specifically. So it's a kind of like almost like a psychological trick that happens that unlocks us in a very particular way. And I think it's a core fundamental, very important part of the human existence.
Tell me about
human experience. The human existence, whatever that is.
How portentous. Tell me about some of, not the trends that you see emerging over the next 6, 12, 18, 36 months, but what are some things that get you really excited? Play is great, but it's also very vague. What excites you right now and looking forward?
Well, Startup Me is going to be like in every single mobile phone. I think the thing that really excites me is how game mechanics are and play, just very broadly, they are very different, play and game. but how these mechanics are going to start influencing the way that we think about things feel like you just said, very adult and staid and kind of, sort of you would sigh if someone tried to engage you in these topics. And I think I feel like every interview that I do, I bring up my friend Jane McGonigal and her wonderful new book, Reality is Broken, How Games Can Change the Future. Because if you read some of the examples that she's done, she really has a way of just tackling real-life problems with some of these sort of like fundamental structures and fundamental theories about play, and just unlocking some amazing stuff. The healthcare world, the world of finance, and ultimately I think that if you bring a lot of these kind of human components into those spaces, you naturally get better ethics, and you get better productivity, and you get better overall awareness. So that's the thing that I'm like super looking forward to. Along the way, I will just caution that there's going to be a lot of terrible implementations. I think you're already seeing that with some of the pushback on gamification, where lots of people are trying to implement the very minimal criteria of the structure of game without focusing on the experiential part. But I think that it is going to be a very, very interesting, wonderful world in the next few years.
Say, Frank, where can we have fun online?
I'm gonna say start at me again. And if you're in earshot of this particular podcast, I don't know when it goes up, but you can type "We Poop Rainbows" into the small invite box on the bottom right. As long as it's there, it's a closed beta. But there are so many. I mean, with the rise of HTML5 now. I mean, expect the browser to be a really wonderful play space again. I think that we've had a transition to apps and isolated platform kinds of experiences over the last few years. But I think that the browser is going to make a little bit of a comeback this year with HTML5 and unified, like, deep, wonderful, rich, deep experiences. I'd say, like, stay tuned on the web in general for some great stuff.